and internet, it's me, Cousin Todd, with Mama's Comedy Show. And with me is Cousin Ed.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Ed.
And Cousin Megan.
Hi, how's it going?
Actually, to be fair, I told Megan that we were going to start the podcast at 7.
What time is it now?
6:53.
Well,
so
we're getting a jump on it.
Oh, no, I'm still going to give her shit for showing up, even if she shows up at 6:59. That's just the type of thing that assholes do.
You're an evil person.
Yeah.
Well, Ed, I forgot about that.
Well, here's my motto.
Evil first.
Yes. Always evil. Evil asshole first. And then every once in a while, you do something that's not evil, but not great. And people are like, huh, that's a pretty nice guy.
So you keep the expectations low.
Yeah. It's like in sex. Let me teach you about sex.
Insects?
Yes, bugs. Oh, it's like when you're having sex.
I'm sorry, what is that?
You know that thing that guy tried to do at the bus stop on you?
Right. Yeah. I remember that. Okay, good.
Be as terrible and selfish as you can 90% of the time. And then right before she has friends over, she's going out for a girl's night, that's when you give it to her.
Well, you got the plan. You got it all laid out. You got a system.
Yeah, that's my system.
You remind me. It reminds me of. I've been watching a lot of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
The Dennis system.
The Dennis system. Yeah. Right now, I just finished season 6, so I'm about to start season 7.
So, for those of you who aren't aware, the Dennis system is like the most sociopathic, like amazingly funny, but horrific thing.
In order to get women to fall in love with you.
So it's based. The acronym is based on his name. So D.
Demonstrate value.
Yeah. And so he's trying to hook up with a pharmacist. So he shows up with a prescription for his grandmother's medicine that he forged.
That he has, but that makes him have value.
Demonstrating his value and being a good person, taking care of his grandmother.
He was engaged physically.
Yep. And that was where he takes her out to a restaurant that he knows is already closed. So that he can say, well, we could just go back to my place and have pizza and watch a movie, because he gets her to his place.
Yeah.
And then he can hook up.
And then I don't remember the rest of them.
D-E-N. N is nurture.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Nurture and that. And in nurturing, he would call with a voice changer to disguise himself as an angry, threatening neighbor.
Yes, that's right.
To make her afraid and rely on him. And then the second in was neglect, which is where he walks away and says, maybe that angry neighbor comes back. Maybe you're not there this time to rescue her. Maybe slash your tires.
Yeah.
And then I inspire hope, which is where he shows up again. And says, oh, baby, I love you. The reason I left is just because I'm scared. I've never felt this way. And then you bang again. I'm using the terminology he uses.
Yeah. Bang. That's what they say.
And it's the more meaningful bang because she feels it this time.
And then there's S's separate.
Entirely. Slink off into the night, never to call her or see her again.
And then she's absolutely in love with you then.
Yeah. And that's the.
They're awful, terrible people.
It is. They have a great podcast, though. On their podcast, they break down all of their episodes.
Yeah, I should listen to it, but I want to watch all the episodes first. But I just finished the episode where D had the baby for the couple.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So speaking of the Dennis system, since you're on the dating apps, you're on the Hinge.
I'm on one everything. Dating app. I'm on Hinge now.
What would the Ed system be?
So I just have to come up with two, E and D.
Yeah.
Well,
or you can do the bud.
Erectile dysfunction. It's mostly. There you go. My system.
Educate.
Yes. Let them know about who I am.
Yep. And then.
Discover.
Oh.
Discover who they are.
All right.
I'm sorry, that's really lame, but that makes sense.
That's why we have Bud. We've got your last name to work with, because two letters is Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S, six letters.
And then bring a casserole. That would okay. be the okay. the then understand why yeah. they're crying. and then deny that the casserole was actually made by you because you don't make good casseroles. And then devalue yourself so that you could seem like, you know, it's not really a big deal. Now, I'm not very good at dating. I think I've talked
well,
about
yeah,
this.
Well, you're bringing casseroles to their house. Yeah, and yeah. I mean, what woman doesn't get soggy panties for a casserole?
I know. We've been doing this podcast, the podcast that I've been on for the past 4 podcasts.
Yeah.
I've basically talked about how awful I am at dating.
And maybe that's stuff. Why you're not having so much luck right now.
Right. I think that's probably it. Maybe people I'm not are like, promoting myself.
Wait.
Right.
It's like, listen, when I'm not doing herpes cream commercials.
Yeah. See me run for president. My campaign slogan would be like, are you sure? Really want to vote for me? Really?
A friend of ours, I just kind of reminded myself of this when I said the herpes cream. But a friend of ours did a commercial for, I think it was a herpes medicine.
For Valtrex.
Was that what it was?
I think I know what you're talking about. Yep.
And the way that they do those commercials is they're regional. So they won't play it in your region.
Yeah.
And he did the commercial. It was a big paying commercial because it was a big ad. And then he moved to Los Angeles where the ad was playing regularly.
And there you go. No, but the reason why I brought that up is because if you've been working with me now since 97,
yeah,
right?
And I still won't date you.
That's a while. But you know that it took me a long time to not talk myself out of work with people.
Right.
Like I now promote myself professionally much better than I used to.
Give an example.
Tell the story.
Ed and I got cast in a movie.
We did.
Hold on. Let me say it like the kids would. Ed and I got casted in a movie. And it was like a Three Stooges style. And we're doing, like they were shooting on film. It was a decent budgeted project. It ended up not happening. But we went in for our film test.
Yeah.
Where they put us in costuming. And they talked to us about money, and the money was decent, not super great, but for a short run, it was decent.
I'm so embarrassed by this story, but it's true. And the truth is the truth. What can I say?
Ed, the producers are there, and we're doing this screen test. And basically, we'd already been cast. It was Ed and I and our friend Todd.
This is what the kids call cringeworthy.
And
this is cringeworthy.
Ed, as the producers are there and they're talking to us about the overall movie and what they want to do, and Ed immediately just kind of says, listen, I have a number in my head and it's this, and I don't think I could do the movie unless it's that. And the producer says, yeah, well, we can work it out. Like, don't worry about it. Like, we'll take care of that. And Ned was like, I just don't want you to waste your time. And the guy says, no, we'll figure that out. He's like, because I can leave now. Like I can
not
go.
Not only that, but I offered up 2 other people who I thought would be good for the role besides myself. If I was like, you know, I know, and we were working with somebody else that we work with often, and they both knew these people. They're like, yeah, they'd be fine, but you're here, dude. Calm down.
Yeah.
You know? And, I would constantly do stuff like that. Mostly just because I think there was a lot of pressure at home in
right.
my home situation at that time.
Yeah.
That leaving the house was supposed to be a money making venture. Little did I know that her leaving the house could be whatever the fuck she wanted to do. Oh right. my gosh. I actually said the F word on the podcast.
Gosh.
I think that this is a red letter.
Hold on. Let's try it again. I'll try to bleep it out.
No, you're not going to bleep that.
I'm going to try.
You're going to amplify it.
No, I'm not. I'm not touching the equipment. So
no, it turns out that I had to, justify being out of the house because of our situation with the kids and stuff like that. And it was a big deal back then. But that's not the only reason. I think there was also just a humility factor.
You talked yourself out of another job before, yeah. didn't you? Like yep. a tour? Yep. Didn't you talk yourself out of something?
Yeah. It was something along the lines of they wanted me. I don't remember. That was so long ago. God, don't get old, kids. Don't get old. Your memory just fades. But I basically remember what you're talking about. But.
Yeah, it was that you'd been cast. You'd been casted in a show. Because doesn't that drive you crazy?
It drives me nuts.
It drives me so crazy. But you've been.
And I always want to ask them, what are they talking about? I wonder, am I also doing that in dating? Am I also
absolutely?
Am I unselling myself? Because I'm getting no messages. I get nothing. I get no response.
Let me see your first message to them. Hey, if it's not too much trouble, what? Never mind.
Here, we did this last time with, I think it was Facebook dating.
Yeah.
But now here's my Hinge, and okay. You can go ahead.
I think the last time we talked, you got off the apps altogether.
Yep, and then I just now.
Given up hope.
2 days ago, I went on this.
Right.
2 days ago, I joined it. Granted, it's just been 2 days, but there's been no dating.
A life goal of mine. To see Alaska, this is a good picture of you. It's you in the tuxedo looking off like James Bond, but it could be misconstrued as a little angry.
All right. I get that. I can understand.
You're a little General Zod in this picture.
All right.
A goal of mine to see Alaska and Hawaii. Then I will have been to all 50 states. Brag about it.
Yeah.
All right. You got... Yeah, okay. These ones, you look happy in this one. You're dancing in your car. I've never been on this site.
Yeah.
Or this app. Honestly, I'm understanding mutual respect. Dating me is like finding extra money in the couch cushions because I'm unexpected and I am here. And I hear.
Uh-oh.
I'm unexpected and I here to help you just have fun.
And
well, that's
here.
The thing. No, that just says, and I hear.
Yeah, I know. I got to fix that.
Maybe they think you're an idiot.
That I'm illiterate. Yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't proofread.
Illiterate? You mean you don't know who your father is?
Yes, that's exactly what illiterate means. So there you go. I got to fix that. But
Yeah. No,
it's not bad.
Here's my advice.
What picture should I have as the main picture then if it's not the text picture? This feeding this guy a drink?
Yeah, that's good because it shows off your arms. You look like you're hitting the gym. It shows that you have a sense of humor or that you are attracted to male statues.
Maybe I have the one where I'm dancing in my car as my profile.
Can you do a profile video?
Yeah, I think so.
Why don't you have your dick in any of those pictures?
Because I don't do that, and we've already talked about this.
Can you not do that?
I don't think you can, no. Nor would I want to.
All right. If you would like to see a picture of Ed's dick, please...
just look up the term Todd Ferrin.
Send a picture of yourself to the Mom's Comedy Show Facebook page, and we will have Ed reply with a photo of a dick. May not be his.
And you will be greatly disappointed because Todd will be doing all of this. Anyway,
so
yeah, there you go. That's the boring topic that we've done four times already.
Well, let's
my
move
lack of dating life
on from that because tonight's also a special night in the city of Orlando.
Tell me why?
Because it's the opening night of Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, yes.
Which is if you're unfamiliar with Halloween Horror Nights, then I don't know what to tell you. It's 31 years old. You're missing out.
Yeah.
It is very successful. A little too successful, in my opinion. It's so crowded and busy there, but I still go. I go multiple nights.
I don't go. It's just not my thing.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm not a horror movie guy. I don't care for that sort of stuff.
Did you put that in your Hinge app? Not a horror movie guy?
No. Should I?
Okay. Well, I mean, some girls are like Renette, my assistant. She is
assistant.
She's not into horror films at all. Yeah. And she's a makeup artist. She does a lot of makeup effects and gore effects.
Well, it's like me. I mean, I teach theater, but I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, you're a terrible actor.
That's why I have to talk myself out of jobs.
Renette, my assistant, she has tryptophobia.
Is that with the holes?
Yeah, that's a fear of holes.
Yeah.
And she was doing makeup for a Halloween event in Hong Kong. And like this was years ago, she didn't know that she had this fear, and she had this latex appliance that was like a series of holes that she was applying to someone's face, and she put it on there, not an issue. As she's putting on the makeup and it's looking more and more realistic, she starts having a panic attack, and that's how she found out that she has it. And when she told me, I went, "What?" Because it's one of those things where. How, you're afraid of holes?
Yeah.
And so I looked up tryptophobia and hit image search. Mm. And then I was like this? And I showed her my phone. She did not like it.
You're a terrible
she
husband.
She did not like it.
Now, does she like the movie with Shia LaBeouf? movie
holes. I don't.
You got to go dig those holes.
But I was in Vienna doing a job out there.
Why don't you realize? And Vienna waits for you.
I have a song for everything apparently. We were in a bar, and it was closing time.
Closing time.
There you go. Oh, God, I set you up.
Yeah, that's actually about the birth of his niece.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
But a bunch of guys were there, and we were all talking about our assistants. And
a bunch of guys talking about our assistants.
And I mentioned the thing that Renette had tryptophobia, and they're like, "What is that?" So I did Google image search, and I went, "This." One of the guys in the group immediately recoiled and went, "I have that. I have that. I didn't realize it. I have it."
Wow. Wow.
I guess it's pretty common.
I guess the fear stems from you don't know what's in the hole. You know, and it could be really anything.
Some people have it really bad. Like just a beehive, a picture of a beehive freaks them out. Not just like on the skin, but just like the holes pressed up against each other.
No. When my dad was alive, he had a weird thing that freaked him out.
What was it?
If you took a straw wrapper or any piece of paper and it was stuck to your lip or someone's on your lip, paper being stuck on somebody's lip would like wig him out, and then
like he would like
he'd be like run away. He'd be like, you have to get the there's paper on he would freak out. And then even worse, if you didn't realize it and as you were talking, like the paper would move. It would happen really, really rarely.
Yeah,
but if
it doesn't seem like a common thing.
No, but if it did happen, he would like announce it,
right?
He got all weird about it. I was like, okay.
Do you have like a fear that you think is irrational or?
Honestly, I have talked to my therapist about this often. This is once again me getting deep and depressing on a comedy podcast.
Yep. I'll laugh when you say it.
Oh, so. Thank you. When I got separated and divorced and all that type of stuff. Yeah, yeah. I went through an incredibly dark time. I came to realize that I lost all my fear.
Oh.
I used to be afraid of heights. I'm no longer afraid of heights. I used to have a thing about rats. I'm no longer afraid of rats. Basically, there is this overwhelming apathy about life in general that kind of hit me. And the benefit about that apathy and that really sort of pessimistic worldview was that if I die, I die.
It's called nihilism.
Yeah, I'm completely a nihilist.
Yeah.
I've given in to nihilism a long time ago.
So
the only reason I'm not a nihilist is because, I mean, that the only reason why I might not be a nihilist, but I believe in every other way I am, is because I really have hope and dreams for my kids' futures.
Right.
But I have no more hopes or dreams for my future.
I think you can still consider yourself a nihilist and want good things for people you care about.
There you go. That's me.
And Renette and I have talked
about. And that's why I'm not dating, because people go, why would I want to date that?
No, I'm with you. I feel like I find comfort in the fact that there's no meaning in everything. Like in the fact that in, a billion years, or not even a billion years, 100 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to be here.
Yeah.
Like your kids will probably not be here unless there's a major breakthrough in science.
Yeah, science, right.
What's the point of us? The world's going to keep spinning.
Right. And then people go, well, you know, it's just love and serve, you know, whatever deity they want, but I don't have that. Right. I mean, my religious stuff is at best agnostic, where I go, I don't know. I don't know anymore that there is something that there isn't something. I got me. So there's nothing that I'm banking on for, well, after you die, there's going to be this beautiful place. No, not necessarily. I got no proof of that anymore than I have proof that's not there. So there's really nothing. Everything's for nothing, really. It's just kind of a weird happenstance of fungus that grew on a rock that happened to be the right distance from their heat source. But three of those little funguses matter more to me than I do.
Right.
And that's 100% true. I mean, without getting super dark, there was places where I was thinking about taking myself out.
Oh, well, yeah, don't do that.
No. I don't, that doesn't even enter my brain anymore. Yeah. But the only, when I was thinking about that, the only thing that kept me was I went, somebody told me a long time ago that when people do that, they don't get rid of their pain. They just give their pain to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I know exactly the three people I'd be giving my pain to. And I'm like, that ain't happening. I'm not giving this pain to those kids.
Yeah.
So the only reason I'm still here on this planet is because of those three kids.
Right.
And now I'm here for other reasons. I my whole outlook has changed.
Yeah.
I mean, the nihilism is not such a bad thing, really.
Because, no, I think once you embrace nihilism, it's freeing because you don't have that fear. So speaking of, this was probably a year ago, maybe more than a year ago. Couldn't sleep and I was laying in bed and sometimes I'll just write down thoughts.
Yeah.
So this was like probably the most, I guess, poetic that my nihilism has gotten. And it was, I wrote a little poem.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
A man stood at the edge of infinity and looks out over its star-filled glory. I've lived a good life, the man said to the universe, to which the universe replied, I don't care. I've made thousands of friends, the man beamed, to which the universe replied, I don't care. I've accomplished so much, the man said gleefully, to which the universe replied, I don't care. I worked so hard to amass a fortune, the man bragged, to which the universe replied, I don't care. I was the most important man to so many people, the man boasted, to which the universe replied, I don't care. It looks like I'm going to die soon, the man said, to which the universe replied, I don't care. People are going to miss me, the man added, to which the universe replied, I don't care. But I'm important to so many, the man screamed, protesting the universe's cold indifference. But before the man could finish his objection, the universe blinked. And in that single speck of time, during that exceedingly short blink of the universe's eyes, the man died. Everyone who had ever loved him died. The objects he amassed dissolved to dust and ash. The accomplishments he made had long since been forgotten. And in the final millisecond of the universe's cosmic blink, the man's entire solar system of 100,000 million stars faded, died, and spun out into infinite blackness. Anything that might have had any connection to the man's entire species, planet, solar system, and galaxy was now gone. To which the universe replied, I don't care.
Yeah, I remember when you posted that.
Yeah, but I stand by that, and I think in a way...
My response to you when you posted that was something along the lines of amen. It was like just a blatant support.
I wrote like a post once that said, nobody cares and that's okay. And it, meaning you're about to leave the house. You have this zit on your face and you're like, oh my God, I have this zit on the tip of my nose. I look like fucking Bozo the Clown. Yeah. And ultimately nobody cares. Nobody is going to bed that night going, do you see that zit on Ed's face? Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like, and then tomorrow, nobody's going to remember what was on your face today. Nobody cares about the things that we fixate on about ourselves. You know, like we all have things that we're unhappy with. You know, like I've been working out a lot lately and trying to control my diet.
I've noticed.
Oh, it's for you. But it's like I still have this here on me.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy. But ultimately, I'm like, if I got into a car accident, no one's going to say, that guy with the love handles died? that skinny fat dude?
Oh, well. Yeah, and then it also drives me a little crazy getting back to the dating thing is when people – I really am tempted to put on my dating app, I don't want to be fixed or I don't need to be fixed.
Yeah, that seems confrontational.
I won't put it on there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really want to put it on there because, I mean, there's been people who I've been with who haven't been shy about intoxication.
Right.
Right? And yet when I became intoxicated at certain points, that person would call me out on my intoxication. I was an embarrassment to the room,
right?
To everybody in the room. And I knew that they've done things 10 times more embarrassing.
Right.
All right. But I never called them on it.
Right.
And anytime I got called out, you were such an embarrassment because you were eating so much at the buffet or whatever, because you were wasted or whatever, you were intoxicated. You probably were the only one, you, this person who's saying that to me, you're probably the only one who noticed that.
Right.
Because nobody else cares. No, as long as I'm not in their bubble, as long as I'm not bothering them, they don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and I just...
Renette and I have talked about, because she's overly positive. She's a very positive, happy person, but she's also Canadian. So that's like, that's part of it. I feel like culturally she's, I mean, don't get me wrong. She gets depressed and she has moments, but she's a much, happier. She's the Robin to my Batman. You know what I mean? Where if you,
it's funny, I use the same analogy with my son.
If you envision Batman, because that was the kind of point of Robin, right, was yeah. Batman is dark, scary. Robin is this beam of light that.
Unless you're talking about the Adam West Batman.
Well, of course.
Then they're both awesome. Bird Ward and Adam West.
But we've talked about doing a podcast, the two of us, her and I,
yeah,
where. We pick a third party, like a person would come in and we discuss like a specific topic, like this is what's happening in the world right now, or this is something that's happening in this person's life. And I take the nihilistic approach and Renette takes the positive approach. And at the end of the episode, we have the person choose, do you go down the darker path or did Renette brighten your feelings on the subject?
Yeah, my
like
sister,
did she give you hope?
My sister is very much like Renette. You met my sister Lou, right?
Oh yeah.
What's the matter with you? But Lou's always just positive and upbeat and whatnot. And my other sister Terry, it's not like she's dark or nihilistic like me or anything like that.
Right.
Which a lot of people go, Ed, you're not dark and nihilistic. And then I know they don't know me.
Yeah.
because I go, well, you know the character that I put out there, but you don't know who I am. But my sister Terry, I would always say, was more of a realist, you know, whereas Lou gives people 100% the first time they meet them.
Right.
That sounds like Renette. It's like, you're awesome. You're the most, I'm so interested in you and everything about you. Whereas my sister, Terry, is more like, you got to earn it.
Yeah.
But once you earn it with her, she's got your back for life, man.
Right?
She, you can set fire to 17 buildings. She'd be like, at least it wasn't 18.
Yeah,
you know, she
did it for a reason.
You know, she's got your back, but you have to earn it with my little sister. With my older sister, though, everybody starts off 100%. But if they lose points with her, it's really hard to get points back.
Right.
So, and look at this, we got another special guest.
Oh, Cousin Hal coming
Cousin
into the theater.
Hal. What does it say on his shirt?
Maximum carnage. Screamage.
Is that from Halloween Horror Nights?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. We were just talking about that.
Now, if we were going to do I've made this post before in the past of a truly scary house or a truly a house that wouldn't be fun to be in for an event like that.
I have two
of
them.
I've said that I thought an uncomfortable house would be something along the lines of, you know, awkward situations to put you in, you know, like you walk into a room and there's someone crying and they basically come up to you and start telling you all of the bad stuff happening in their life. And then they just kind of stick with you while you're trying to move on to the next room.
Yeah.
But then the next room is like, you know, a close talker. Or
so basically you're saying my day at high school.
Yes.
Teaching high school.
It's very uncomfortable.
Anyway. Yeah, mine I had two. I had one called The Room.
Yep.
And one the Halloween Octopus.
And what's the Halloween Octopus?
First of all, let me just say that Halloween Horror Nights really bugged me because they're like, I'm gonna shake coins in a can at you, and isn't that scary? No, you're just being annoying.
Yeah.
I'm coming at you with a chainsaw. You jump back and screamed. Yeah, because you shocked me. Shock is not the same as scare.
Right.
You know, so these I would think would be really scary rooms. The Halloween Octopus. So it's a regular octopus ride, you know, like you would, you know, you've seen the octopus rides at carnivals, right?
With the arms that go up and down.
Yeah.
And
it's in an enclosed room.
Right.
All right. So in big arena type, you know, if you enclose a ride. And it's got up all these cheesy Halloween decorations, you know, little pumpkins, witches, and stuff like that. And it's just playing the happy, happy Halloween, 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 you know, silver shamrock. And it's playing all that as going around and whatnot. And you just see like really cheesy effects. And then suddenly the ride starts to speed up really fast, and the music cuts out. They're happy. The ride's going really, really fast. Suddenly, the car in front of you, or one of the cars you see, it starts to wobble and it falls off, and right. one of the cars goes tumbling to the ground, and what you don't know is that there's mannequins in it, right. and the mannequins get splayed about, and you hear screams from down there. Then all of a sudden the emergency lights come on in the ride, and you have a whole bunch of employees from the park right. trying to, with these flashlights, trying to look for a place to shut off the ride,
right?
And that's scary.
Yeah,
that's not, I have a fake chainsaw, I'm coming at you, or, and then, you know, the ride ends.
Yeah.
And that's it, you know. But I'm not interested in Halloween Horror Nights because I don't want somebody, look at me, I'm so scary. You're not scary. I get it. I understand what you're trying to do.
Right.
But I'm not going to fall for that. Now, that octopus thing, if I think I'm going to die on a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary. My other one is The Room.
Okay.
The Room. You go in. You can only go in one at a time. So it's not practical. I'm completely aware that this one's not practical.
Right.
Right? You only go in one at a time. You go in the room and it's all white, and behind you, and there's a white chair, and you get patted down. You don't have any markers or anything right. on you or whatever. There's a white chair. There's a white table, white walls, no windows. Behind you is a door that shuts, but you can't tell where the door is in the wall, where the door is, because right. it blends in. There's a book on this little table. It's a white book. You open it up. It's just white pages, and you're just there, and there's really bright light.
Yep.
And you're just like, what the fuck is that? You know, the second yeah. time I did this on the podcast, I said the F-bomb again.
Beep. Sorry. There you go. I got it.
What is this? So what are you going to do? Right. You're going to call out. Something's wrong. Right. You know, there's something supposed to happen. So you yell out, hey, you know, or whatever. You're going to yell out to try to get someone's attention. But every time you open your mouth and say anything, there's somebody on a button. And they blast just this loud, and drown out your voice. And we just leave you there. 20 minutes, maybe a half an hour, maybe 10 minutes, maybe an hour. You never know when you're getting out.
You would have some asshole who is like, who knows about it and is like, no one else is doing this house tonight.
That's exactly why it's not practical.
Right.
Because it would work for two people. And then the secret's out and it's over.
I think,
but that's really scary,
right?
And it doesn't have to be dark. It could be incredibly operating room white,
yeah.
and it'll really brighten there, and it could still be scary.
I told you my idea for the house that would get shut down immediately, and the idea is because I agree with what you're saying. Like, it's not, what you're doing is not scaring us. You're shocking us, or surprising us.
Yeah.
But my idea was, you go into this haunted house, and it's a basic haunted house, nothing outlandish. You get
like,
through
like pumpkin spice latte. It's basic.
You get through two or three rooms, and then there's one room where they just stop you, and you see a police officer standing there, and he's got a flashlight, and they close the door, and all of the effects shut off. There's like a work light that comes on, and the cop just says, just stay here, folks. We everything's fine.
And he looks like an Orange County police officer.
Looks like an actual police officer. Just says, don't worry, folks, we're going to stay here. You have a plant in each group because you're being pulsed. And after like a couple seconds, like 30 seconds to a minute, you got to keep this thing moving. But after 30 seconds to a minute, your plant, just appears as though he's one of the other guests going on through the house, just says to the cop, like, what's going on? And the cop just very casually just goes, we have some joker in here. He's like a... poking people with needles, and we just want to make sure we get him out of here. And then you have your plant, like, Jesus, like, I hope he's not like giving people AIDS or something. You just plant that seed. And then all of a sudden the lights go out. You hear a door open and close. Your plant goes, ow, he's poking me. The cop just starts firing his gun, just blanks. So you're getting this strobe light of his gun.
You know, people can die from blanks,
yes.
right? Okay.
And no, he's not firing like at people. He's flying like into the air. Like,
yeah, I'm just saying.
Like, yeehaw.
I'm just throwing that out there.
But, but he just turns to the people in the audience and goes, run! A door opens up and you're being chased now through the rest of the house.
By the poker.
The poker.
Well, that's stuff that's scary. But you know what? Here's the thing, though.
Yep.
I talk about it not being scary, not being shocking. It's just not for my demographic.
Right.
You know, the people who put together Halloween Horror Nights, quite frankly, are geniuses.
Oh, yeah.
They are geniuses. And I can never do what they do. But I'm just saying, it's not for my demographic.
That's what would be your demographic haunted house?
The octopus. You know, the maybe not the white room, because that's really just imprisonment. I'm just putting someone in prison.
Yeah.
You know, but the octopus, I would really be afraid of.
There's a documentary about the extreme haunts and the ones where people sign waivers.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to hogtie you. We're going to force strange liquids down your throat. We're going to, I mean,
that's not for me.
People are being, no, not for me either.
No.
But there are videos of people who go through. They're videotaped while they sign away everything saying, yep, do whatever you want. Ha ha, this is going to be fun. And then the best advertisement these people have, this company has, are those same people crying and screaming as they're getting shit rubbed in their face because they're hogtied or they're wrapped in saran wrap. And then you get this like...
Not actual feces.
Might as well be. I think it is. Have you seen the documentary? It's horrific nasty what they're doing. And then, you know, you see the video of these people after the fact going, don't do this. Like, I thought that this was going to be fun. It's not, it's traumatizing people. And you have people who have like shell shock as a result of it. But, if I just look up, extreme haunt, documentary and you'll find it.
Yeah. It sounds like nothing I'd be interested in.
Yeah.
Right? But one of the things I wanted to say was the Halloween Horror Nights group, you know, the people who put that together, you know, I know a lot of people try to mimic them. I think Hollow Scream came close a couple of years. I went twice to Hollow Scream. I don't think Hollow Scream.
Hollow Scream is different because they're not as successful. But what they can do that Universal can't do as a result is they can pulse their houses. They can focus more on scares where Universal is just getting the numbers through.
Oh, I see.
Universal, no one's ever going to compete with Universal's houses and the quality of their builds and the IPs that they get.
Yeah, that's what I thought was lacking in Hollow Scream. Everything looked really cheesy.
Hollow Scream, you'll get good scares and you get more alone time.
Or shocks. Scares or shocks?
Shocks.
Okay.
Shocks. All right, we should wrap this up because we got to get ready for our show.
That reminds me of that band Plastic. Have you heard of them yet?
Of what?
Plastic, the band Plastic.
Uh-uh.
Most of their songs are just rap.
Okay. All right. All right.
Said wrap it up. You said wrap it up.
I meant like a condom.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, Ed.
What?
What have you learned tonight?
I learned that I have a supporter in my belief that nihilism is not terrible. And because of that, who cares?
All right. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's the universe, Ed.
And I learned something tonight too. I learned that Megan's not going to be here.
No.
Well, no, she'll be here for the show. But
for the podcast,
she was going to be here for the podcast.
Have we ever done a three-person show? We've done a three-person.
Yeah,
show.
I think we have once before.
I think we've done a two-person show.
No, we've never done a two-person show. I was talking to cousin Tony the other day. We hung out and
hey.
We were talking about... Okay,
if you're going to do the Cousin Tony conversation you just had, you have to be your voice and his voice.
Okay.
I love what
he
does.
I said, you know, we just had the anniversary show. I wish you could have been there. And he's like, hey, yeah, I wish I could have been there. I wish we'd do long-form stuff. And then I said, oh, we did long-form stuff, remember? Like the horror film we did where you were the narrator and we did the zombie movie.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. All right, we're Mama's Comedy Show. We're here every Friday night, 8 p.m. Call 407-363-1985. If this podcast did not traumatize you, feel free to give us a review or recommend it to a friend. Everyone loves being recommended podcasts. So
yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, do that. You can find us on Facebook at Mama's Comedy Show. You can find us on Instagram at Mama's Comedy Show. I think that's it. Yeah. You guys stay safe out there and nothing matters.
Nothing matters. That's what the universe said.
We'll talk to you later.
It doesn't care.
Bye.
Bye.